Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
WGN Radio News with C. Bertrand right around the corner. We'll also update you on the NCAA games. Gonzaga's losing?
Yeah.
I saw 17-17. What did you just see?
You did? Well, I've got 15-14, so one of us is in trouble.
I think you're on more of a delay than I am.
Okay.
And Notre Dame, 59, Princeton, 56. Am I seeing that right with 14 seconds left?
No, they won. That game is over.
And who won that game?
Notre Dame won the game.
Oh.
60-58.
Sam Holtz, my 14-year-old whiz bang, said that he liked Princeton in that game. He was almost right. And he also had the 12-5 on that UVA game. He had...
I got that one. It's not working out so well right now.
He has Virginia, the 5, losing to UNC Wilmington. What's the score on that one? Are
they... Well, by my scoreboard, they're up 7 right now with 8:45 left.
But you're in a time warp.
I don't know why. I'm on a pretty up-to-date website.
Yeah, maybe I just completely made that up and there was no factual basis to what I was saying. How do opioids get to the Chicago area? Follow the trail to the world's busiest border crossing. Hijack the opioid addiction crisis tonight on WGN-TV News at 9. Also, the Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive, patient-centered health care experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, at the Speech Language Institute, the Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500, the Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care. This texter says, hey, John, did you see Paul Conrad's meltdown about the accuracy of the forecasting the other day? I did not see that. I presume he was talking about this. I don't know. I don't know what he said, but he's always good. He's pretty funny. John, forget about the weather service. How about municipalities that are watching the same radar that we can all see, and they still don't put the plows on the road? Everybody's a weatherman now, too. Everybody seems to go, well, I don't think that one's going to come in for an hour. You know, I always thought that those people went to college, got degrees, and kind of knew stuff we don't.
Yeah, it's common sense.
And so they go, no, the dark red thing is bad, right. Pink, and the more of those are, the worse.
Pink is snow. I can see that.
John, we had new kitchen cabinets delivered the day of that snowstorm in February. Just got to work on that. Quite a memory. It snowed for 3 days. What was the other one I wanted to mention here? Anyway, we'll pick up a couple of phone lines. We'll start with Bob. You're on WGN. Bob, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Well, I just wondered if anybody noticed this besides me. The Weather Service tends to give you the weather in New York when we're experiencing a snowstorm here in Chicago.
Yeah, right.
They'll preempt the weather on the 8th in order to give us the weather in New York. So we don't get to know what our weather is, because apparently there's more important people than Chicagoans at that point.
I know.
Same thing at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to get a weather on the 8th. You're going to get why planes crash or something like that. And if you got a storm ripping through, you'd rather just, like, see the weather.
Are you going to tell them?
We don't do weather on the 8th?
Not so much.
Yeah. No, but if his point, if your point, Bob,
no,
is
the Weather
that...
Channel I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're tuning in to try to see the weather, they're the only ones that have the weather 24 hours.
Oh.
Basically, we got New York weather, and we were getting 9 inches of snow, but New York's weather was more important than to even give us the weather on the 8th.
Makes you feel like flyover land, doesn't it?
Yep. Well, you know, there's more important people than Chicago.
Evidently. No, I hate that. I mean, you see that all the time. Ask sports fans if they think there's an East Coast bias to ESPN or, for that matter, any national sports coverage. Thank you, Bob. Peggy, you're on the air. You're on WGN. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to say, ever since we've had the Doppler radar,
yeah.
Gary Taft, Tom Skilling, and Larry Maher never, ever seem to get it right. Now, I would imagine they're spending a lot of money for Doppler radar, and they're not getting it right. They never get it right.
They're not setting it right?
They're not saying it right.
Saying it right, yeah. They don't know how to read the thing?
I don't think Tom knows what he's doing.
Thanks for the call. I had never noticed that, Peggy, but since they got Doppler radar, Do they still have around here, Steve, or did they ever, this like a block-by-block forecast?
Not that I know of.
Somebody have that where it was so sophisticated? I'm not making this up, that they could tell you, like, you know, it's not just going to hit Chicago on the south side, but, you know, they would actually almost give you street addresses where the storm was coming through.
I haven't seen it. My wife has an app that she loves. It's storms. I don't know.
Something that does something like that.
Yeah, right.
There is something
like
that.
Rain falling in 6 minutes.
Yes, exactly. That technology exists. I don't know how good it is all of the time. John, that storm that you were talking about that shut down Lakeshore Drive was the storm where you sent pizzas to the stalled folks. I'll never forget how you did that. It was absolutely great. That's why you're on the air. Yeah, I do remember that.
Was that the same storm?
Well, this person says, I remember sending, but we didn't send them out to Lakeshore Drive.
It was,
I think,
downstate,
we sent them out to people off I-80. Yeah, downstate and west. And we sent a young woman called in and said, I'll deliver the pizzas to people because they're out there and they haven't been able to eat for a day. And so we said, okay, we'll pay for the pizzas. And she got pizzas, and then she drove her car up and down like I-80, handing pizzas out to stranded drivers, and we paid for them. And some people thought that was awesome, and some people were very angry at us for putting that young woman in harm's way. But she was a star on our show ever since. I said at the beginning of the broadcast this afternoon, I don't know who I'm happier for, the players, the coach, the fans, or Dave Ennett. I mean, how many games has Dave Ennett done? And he wasn't able to go to the NCAA tournament as a broadcaster for Northwestern. He's there now, and he's here now on WGN. Dave, this is John, and how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, John. And just to give you a little update, I'm watching South Dakota State and Gonzaga here in Salt Lake City. And South Dakota State is definitely not only hanging with them, but has a 3-point lead. We just had the under 4-minute timeout. It's 22-19, the Jackrabbits in front of the top seed.
16-1. And yeah. Does it look like they can play with them, or do you get the feeling that Gonzaga's...
Gonzaga's good, and they're very big inside. But, I mean, so far South Dakota State can shoot, and they get out and run a little bit. So, they've gotten this far. So, the next 3 minutes, if they can get to halftime and either have the lead or even be within single digits, you never know.
But they're leading right now. They're up right now.
They're up 22-19 right now.
Wow.
And Gonzaga just missed a free throw. So, you know.
I have Gonzaga losing this game in my bracket.
Well, good call on your part, John. Yeah,
because they're only playing a half, right?
It's a good call with 3 minutes left in the first half.
Yes.
Why do
you
have to keep bringing stuff like that up, Steve? Can you just let a guy enjoy this for a minute? I was going to ask you one other thing about that. Oh, yeah, Dave. I suppose this is the way these kind of games normally go. The 16, you know, the 12 seed, whatever, they got nothing to lose. They're loose. Expectations are low, so they play free. Mm-hmm. Then it gets towards the end of the second half, and they go, hokey smokes, we got a shot of winning this game. And then they start to tense up a little bit, and the bigger, better team almost always wins these games.
Well, that's what has happened historically. And even the 12-5 game between Notre Dame and Princeton, Princeton's a good team, very well coached, and you know they got down early in the second half. They looked like Notre Dame was going to pull away, and then Princeton ended up falling short by 2 points. So you never know.
Are you?
But in the 1-16 matchups, that is traditionally how it's going.
Yeah. Are you nervous, Dave?
Am I nervous? I guess I would be less than honest, John, if I said I wasn't feeling it a little bit, because I've never done this. This team has never played an NCAA tournament game. And, it's so big for the program, and it's such a big moment, I think, for everybody who's been associated with them. I'm nervous for these kids who are going to be out there on the court in a little while, in a couple of hours, and for the coaches. They've worked so hard to get to this point. And I know how badly people want to see them succeed, except for the Vanderbilt side.
Not so much them.
This is a big deal.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, so you guys start at 3:30, right?
Correct.
No, yeah.
And by the way, Gonzaga just took the lead.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. So what's your vantage point? Tell me a little bit about the lay of the land there. Is that place packed or is it kind of sparse?
It's good crowd, very good crowd for first round. You know, you have some teams that geographically it was fairly easy for them to get here. The two top seeds, you have Gonzaga, and you have Arizona, which is playing in the later session. So a lot of fans here. But this place is pretty well full, I think, for this first session. And a big group of Northwestern fans just arrived via charter from Chicago and just walked into the arena, including my wife, who I haven't seen yet. But so there's going to be a pretty good Northwestern representation here.
Do you have any sense of how this game will go, Dave?
I do. You know, I think it all depends really on whether Northwestern can come out and not feel the pressure of all these years of waiting for this day and the anticipation of this moment, and whether they can come out and knock down some early shots. Because I think that, you know, defense can win a lot of games for you. Northwestern's a very good defensive team. Vanderbilt used defense to kind of turn their season around, but they're basically a perimeter-oriented team. They're a great three-point shooting team. They set a school record for three-pointers this year. They led the Southeastern Conference in three-pointers per game. But Northwestern's been good at defending the three, and if they can do it here today, I think Northwestern's a very good team. You know, I think they've shown that, John, with their wins on Friday night over Maryland, the win at Wisconsin, some of their early season wins, beating Dayton at the United Center. So they're the eighth seed, and Vanderbilt's the ninth
seed.
Yeah, right,
so it's an 8-9.
The selection committee considers them the better, slightly better team, even though the odds makers might not.
Yeah, right. Tell me if you think this is a factor in the coach's mind. Like, he's worried that the players or the program are thinking like this: we made it, we got there, and that's the accomplishment that we were striving for. That might undermine, you know, your, I don't know, focus to win this game, because
right,
you've already felt like you've accomplished so much.
I think Chris Collins has been doing his best to dissuade any guys from thinking that way, and to make it clear that it's great to get here, but now that you've gotten to the dance, you want to stay for a few songs.
Yeah.
I believe that was his exact quote. And look, his experience in the NCAA tournament, I think, is invaluable to Northwestern. I mean, he's played in NCAA games. He's played in an NCAA championship game. He's coached in championship games. So he's been an assistant coach for countless NCAA tournament games. So I think that helps, because I think he knows a pretty good recipe for getting a team ready to play in the postseason.
Hmm.
And so we're going to find out here in just a little while. But I don't think this team is thinking about, well, we're glad to be here, let's just go out there and have some fun. And yeah, I mean, they do look at it as let's go out and have some fun. But I don't think this is, as Chris has said, this is not the end game for them.
Well, so if they win this game, then they'll have to play South Dakota State, which is going to beat Gonzaga. So that'll be nice, because they could probably beat South Dakota State. And then they'd have to take on probably Notre Dame or West Virginia, I'm thinking. Yeah.
Well, you know, they played Notre Dame early in the year, and they really should have won that game. So I'd love to see that matchup again if it were to come to that. But I'm not sold yet on South Dakota State beating Gonzaga. Let's see how the second half.
They were winning earlier. I can't imagine the second half will be any different than the first, and they'll probably win the game.
That never happens. That never happens.
Well, Dave, I'm just really happy for you.
It's Gonzaga by four at 26-22.
All right.
With a half a minute to go in the first half.
Who's got the ball? Do a little play-by-play for us, Dave.
Well, actually, I'm just off the court right now. But I will tell you that, South Dakota State needs a basket right now. They they had a 22-16 lead, and now they're down 22-19 lead. Now they're down 26-22. They've got the basketball.
Okay. All right. Good luck to them.
Holding for the final shot of the half.
Hey, Dave,
I
just want to tell you, Dave, I'm just really happy for you. I hope that this is as fun. How many games have you done for Northwestern over the years?
well, I mean, it's 21, 22 years, something like that. So,
say 21 times,
counted them up.
Probably 30 games a season. So it's
roughly
Over 600 games.
I would guess somewhere like that.
So enjoy the moment, Dave. Have a great call, and I hope they win, and I hope you have a terrific time and a terrific call of the game.
Thank you, John.
All right, I'll let you go see your wife. Give her our best. Give everybody our best, and have a great game, Dave.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
It's Dave Ennett. Have a great game. Like he's playing, but he kind of is. He's doing his thing too. Boy, it'd be sure nice to see South Dakota State win that game. WGN.